This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Reef Stakes is the first marine-themed role-playing card game in Malaysia and is designed to mimic real-life stakeholder relationships, introduce some of Malaysia's most iconic marine species, and highlight threats to coral reefs. So the card game was recently announced winner of the 8th International Educational Games Competition in the non-digital finished games category. And I find out more about this award-winning game and how it can raise awareness of marine conservation from two of the co-founders of Reef Stakes, Kwek Yu An and Liu Hui Ling. Welcome, both of you. How are you today?
Very fine. Thank you very much.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me. So first of all, congratulations. You know, well done on this win. We're going to talk a little bit more about that after this. But Yu An, we spoke to you for our Daily Digest segment, and that was in late August. And you guys were actually spearheading the search for Malaysia's national marine animal. I mean, remind us a little bit about that campaign.
Oh, right. So it was during Merdeka Month where we decided that, Malaysia didn't have a marine icon of its own. If you talk about terrestrial, you know, we talk about the tiger and it's so regal, it's always in our psyche. But in the marine conservation, we desperately need an icon just to gather interest, gather support. So what we did was we got nominations, 8 marine animals. Mm-hmm. And from the nominations, we gathered votes in a span of 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And after those votes, the dugong won. Mm-hmm. So a marine species that is actually very charismatic, very cute, very lovely, won. And we hope to promote it more as a marine icon, just to gather interest, gather support for marine conservation as it desperately needs.
Okay. And I was watching it online as well, and I could see, you know, all these marine conservationists kind of fighting it out and getting quite ugly. You know, you guys, it did descend into a bit of anger there. But why do you think there's a greater emphasis on terrestrial animals compared to those of marine animals?
Oh, as I said in the previous interview, we are terrestrial creatures. We live in 2 dimensions. We walk straight, left and right. In fact, in the marine realm, it's very hard for us, if you're not a diver, if you're not a marine biologist, to understand, to actually experience the marine realm. And so that's my theory on why less support or, you know, less attention goes to the marine conservation. It's not something that we see, we experience on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. All right. And, you know, both of you, I did mention you're both co-founders of Reef Stakes, but I do understand that, you know, in some way or another, you're all involved in marine conservation. Tell me a little bit about that, you know. Hui Ling, we've not heard from you.
Okay. So, well, it started with a grant that I had for a professional enhancement. And then I come across an opportunity to maybe do something. So I approached Edmund, who was then my senior, and I just asked him out for a lunch and decided that, you know, I need to use this money. Can we do something for marine? And he had this baby idea that he tested before. And he's like, can we try this out? So I'm like, when I heard his suggestion, and I'm like, I'm totally buying it. So I decided, okay, let's use the grant for this. And then Edmund gathered Quay, and then Serena, and then the rest is history.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I know that started kind of in a fast food outlet, right?
Yes.
And why did you want to come up with Reef Stakes? You know, tell me about the idea behind it. You know, the genesis of it.
I think it goes back to our background. We're very much marine biologists to start with, and then we wanted to push habitat. Ecosystem protection to start. And it's not just a species. First of all, well, coral itself is already a species to start with, but because we think that the charisma of the corals might not be there as compared to a, you know, dugong, per se. So we thought that we wanted to bring out the public outreach and education in a fun way. Mm-hmm. We realized over the past several years, our program outreach has been very stagnant. It's just presenting on an exhibition or talk, and it can be quite boring and complex to a certain extent. So we thought we want to put it in a simpler way, simplify complex issues, and then put some creativity and fun into it. Mm-hmm. So, and add on to that, we wanted to put in some interaction between players. So there comes, we hack other games mechanism, and Reef Stakes is one. So, yeah.
It must have been quite hard to actually conceptualize the whole thing and, you know, kind of figure out the rules of the game and all of that. I mean, let's talk about the conceptualization process. You know, how was that for you guys? And there's 4 of you in the team, am I correct?
Yes.
That's right. There's four of us are marine biologists. The conceptualizing part, yes, it was a little bit challenging. I think the more challenging aspect was trying to figure out how a person wins the game, right?
Yeah.
The concept is there, you know, the building up from a coral to a protected area, you know, that's there. The building up from a rock into like a city, you know, the concept is there. But how does a stakeholder, because we have six stakeholders in the game, puts down the cards to win the game? That was a particular challenge for us.
Okay.
Then we came up with everyone has their priorities. Everyone has three priorities in the game. And the first person to put down all three priorities wins the game. And that's how we illustrate. They have to work together to get the priorities, you know, in the same direction. And then once they put down their priorities, then they can pursue other priorities, which to some extent, in our opinion, mimics or simulates a real life stakeholder relationship. Everyone wants something from a conservation project or a development project.
Yeah, and I think that's always the issue I hear, you know, it's like, okay, everybody wants this goal, but it's so fragmented and no one's talking to each other. So is this game meant to sort of like, you know, get that conversation going as well?
Yes, definitely. If you realize, all six players actually have intersection of three main goals.
Mm.
And so when they want to put down their winning card, they need to be able to collaborate or find ways to get another player to put down the card that they want so that they can put down theirs and win the game.
Okay.
It, in a way, it's a strategy. And I think my take on the challenge is really to come up with a card that actually provides advantage for the players.
Mm-hmm.
We started off with a lot of destructive cards. And then later on, we find out, you know, it's a lot of destroying and not a lot of building.
Okay.
That's where we come in with our Building Sustainable Future cards. And that is one card that we felt more aligned to the SDG goals. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you know, you're mentioning all these different things, but maybe you want to help break it down for anyone who's listening, you know, how exactly the game is played, you know, what is all this stakeholders, you know, all of that. Yeah, explain it to somebody like a 101 on
all
the
right.
game.
So the game is played out on a 7x7 board. And in the game, you pick one of six roles at random. Mm-hmm. You're either a conservationist, a developer, a tourism operator, a politician, a natural resource manager, or a fisherman.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these roles have their own priorities. So for example, a conservationist, all three of her priorities are conservation, are all nature related.
Okay.
Whereas a developer has all development related, or we call it the building track.
Mm-hmm.
And someone in between, for example, a fisherman, would of course in real life want coral reefs for the fish can regenerate, and of course wants development so he can feed his children, put food on the table and so on. So the fisherman in the game has conservation priorities and also development priorities.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. So during the game, everyone picks a role and has to show everyone their role.
Mm-hmm.
And seven cards are dealt to each player. These cards are dealt at random. And so they have to build their own respective tracks.
Mm-hmm.
So to a conservationist, I would want to build the nature track and finish my nature track so I can put down my priorities.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm a fisherman, I would probably want to help either a conservation and a developer because then I can put down both my priorities.
Right.
Yes. And so the game is a very building up fashion kind of game.
Mm-hmm.
But it isn't so simple. We have scenario cards in the game, which kind of disrupts the game in a bit and, you know, gives out strategy and puts people in a place where they can think, oh, I'm a conservationist, but I want to stop development. So there's a card called Dugong Sighted.
Aha. So the curveballs, basically.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So when a dugong is sighted, we say there's an endangered species, development, in theory, will get stopped.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens in the game.
Mm-hmm.
The development track gets removed or, you know, gets stymied for I guess, a few levels. Conversely, there are cards like that affect everyone. For example, the marine debris card. Whereby if you play the marine debris card because it's such a pervasive problem, everyone puts down their playing cards and then it gets reshuffled in the deck. Everyone is dealt new cards.
Oh, so that's the ultimate curveball there.
Yes, so it's where I guess when you are someone that can't put down cards that are suitable, you put down the marine debris card, it affects everyone equally.
Okay.
And so everyone gets has to sacrifice.
Yeah, that's where the strategies are all restarted again.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
It kind of highlights the issue of marine debris as well because it affects everyone and not just one party who is either pro or against environment. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I know the game also wants to highlight all these different sorts of issues, right, that's affecting our marine environment. Maybe you can walk us through some of that.
So the game mimics the whatever's happening in the marine environment and onto the board. And for example, we have an all-tanker collision card where if you play the all-tanker collision, everything gets discarded down to the rock. Rock card, the base card. Okay. It goes to show that the destruction of all-tanker collision, you know, your economy is disrupted, your nature is also disrupted. And that's what we're trying to do with the game, basically. Other than that, you know, there are cards like cyanide fishing, ghost net, bottom trawling. And as you can hear, they're very destructive to nature. So it does the same thing in the game itself. It destroys nature to a certain extent based on how we, the creators, feel is its importance. Like, for example, bottom trawling removes all nature, whereas for ghost netting, it only removes in like one card. So the level of how destructive it is, we try to factor that into the gameplay.
Okay, so you kind of base this on what you know, based on your studies and your research. You kind of know the different impacts and what it's going to do. So that's how you factored it into the game.
Exactly.
Okay, all right. And how many people need to play this game? Because, I mean, there's so many different stakeholders. Do you have to have all of them in, or can it just be like a developer versus a conservationist?
Well, we have a minimum player of 3 to start. And then you will have, of course, with the minimum player, you'll have to choose one on both extreme and then one in the middle, just to make sure that the game are played in a way that brings out the message that we wanted to give. Yep. So maximum, the fun thing is to have all 6. Then you get to see the whole, you get to see the role of all 6 players.
The real ecosystem, basically. Yeah. Right. And, you know, when you designed it, did you have like an age group in mind, or, you know, is this meant for children and adults alike?
When we designed it, we thought above primary school, so secondary school, you know, ages 12 and above. We rated it ages 12 and above. However, we are constantly surprised by going out and, you know, doing this outreach. And we find that kids as young as 6, 7, 8 are able to catch these concepts. Maybe they read more, they're exposed to more, you know, nature. And they're able to catch these concepts and play it. Like, they'll go, mommy, oh, this one can destroy a lot of nature. Okay, I play this card.
You know, very impressive.
So, yeah, exactly. We are very impressed by how fast these kids nowadays pick up games. And I think this is the best way to learn marine conservation. And it's a good way to outreach to a younger generation. So, but still, we still rate it 12 and up. If it's applicable to younger kids, it's a bonus for us.
And so you mentioned outreach programs. You know, I mean, how have you been going out into the community and, you know, introducing this game to everybody?
We particular is on an ad hoc basis, meaning if an organization wants to invite us to come and do outreach, we have done it before with Eco Nights during their CLEF. We've done it before with Malaysian Nature Society during their ocean awareness events. We have done it before through other organizations as well. So WWF has taken this and run it through their school program, the EcoSchools program. Eco Nights have done it in their own respective outreach, and certain dive centers have taken it up and played it with their customers. And so, you know, these kind of things, we all have day jobs, so this kind of thing on any opportunity that comes up on an ad hoc basis, we're more than willing to go and share the messages from Reef Stakes.
And does it include schools as well? If, you know, they were to be interested, you know, would you be open to visiting schools or, you know, education centers?
Oh yes, we would. We would like to go to schools. Of course, then we have to come up with, arranging our schedules. Definitely, we're looking forward to that opportunity. Just send over, and then the team will look into it and see who's available to attend to it. Yeah.
Okay, all right. And as I mentioned earlier, it was announced winner of the 8th International Educational Games Competition. And you guys won in the non-digital Finnish games category. I mean, tell me a little bit about this competition. I understand it was part of a much larger event, though.
Yes, it was part of the European Game-Based Learning Conference. This year is the 14th edition of that conference. And the competition, this is the 8th year running. So they do it every year from the European conference. I heard about this maybe last year, late last year, and decided to, you know, why not we just send in an application, because our game had educational element, and, you know, we were targeting a very specific group of people, so I just sent in our application and thought, why not, let's try. And, you know, we didn't expect to go this far. So how they went through our application is that we had to send in a video, a 5-minute video. On normal circumstances, we will have to go there and present to Brighton. This year it's held in Brighton. But this year, because of the COVID pandemic, they allowed us to do it via Zoom, okay. to present via Zoom. Mm-hmm. And luckily enough, the judges felt our game had potential and put us into the category competing against 10 other games from all around the world. And, you know, once we presented, we were given 5 minutes to present. It seemed they like our game and we're very happy. We're very proud to be able to fly Malaysia's flag in such a prestigious competition and win the first place in that category.
It's wonderful. I mean, I congratulated you, but congratulations again. And, you know, does anything come with that win as well? You know, I mean, besides the prestige of it, you know, do they offer you other opportunities to take this game across the world as well?
As of now, we're not clear what you know. Well, I've asked them for whether they send any prizes here on the way. I mean, if we were there, probably we would have got something. But sure. I'm not sure. What is their plan for us other than putting our game on their website?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. But you know, you guys are obviously going to start taking this game out more. And I mean, I'm just looking at it. It looks really colorful. It looks really really quite exciting. But, you know, what are your hopes for the future, you know, for this game? You know, how are you going to take it out and you know, publicize it to the world?
I think, first of all, we have always wanted to translate this game from English to another language, mm-hmm. preferably Bahasa Malaysia. Mm-hmm. That's our first goal. And then secondly, is to also expand this into other countries, other ASEAN countries, for example, like Indonesia, Brunei, and Philippines, because our fellow conservationists from that countries have shown interest in you know, collaborating and coming up with maybe new concept of the similar kind of games.
Cool.
So these are the two goals we have.
Yeah, I mean, other than that, we want to expand into other ecosystems. That's an exciting front that we want to look into, like maybe mangroves. We look at terrestrial ecosystems. And yeah, I mean, it's a game, it's a tool. Take it as it is. Whoever, like, on the outside wants to use it. And for us, we're just trying to translate our knowledge into a game that, you know, can be passed along anywhere.
Yeah, I think because there's a lot of fatigue as well, right? When it's constantly like, okay, everything is, you know, everything's suffering, everything's dying. You know, if it's just that kind of apocalyptic messaging, it really starts, people stop listening. So they need to engage with it. They need to play with it. They need to have some sort of better understanding perhaps, right? So is that kind of what you're hoping for as well?
Exactly. I think in the game, everyone gets to play a role. Mm-hmm. And that's quite fun for them because in a normal daily life, you play your own role.
That's
you're
right.
Either, you know, an executive or, you know, you are probably a government servant. But in the game, you can be something else. You can be a fisherman. You can be a politician. And really, really encourage the people who play the game to take in that spirit. Mm. So people who have been politicians are very like, you know, oh, I want this, I want that. And poor fisherman is like, oh, no, look at me, I'm the poor fisherman. And I think that's the fun part of the game. It kind of gives you the escape and kind of get people to empathize on a certain roles. And yeah, that has been the value of the game to me.
Definitely. And what about you? What do you think?
Well, I'm looking forward to really bring this into the schools because I felt that the visual itself would attract many kids, and at one point during the exhibition, I realized that our visuals are the first to attract children, and they think they learn from just reading the card because we put a bit of information in every card to give them the information they need about how to proceed in the game. So in that small details, we provide some messages, and so if even the young kid could not play the card, we could use each card to debrief or provide small messages for them, conservation or marine related. So it's good too for teachers and also for parents at home, because now home learning is an approach at nowadays. So if we hope that parents could also look at it as a way for them to engage their children after dinner at night, you know, not just doing homework, but let's play a game and learn. Yeah.
Excellent. And, you know, is it widely available? You know, how can somebody get their hands on it?
Yes, it's available now because we haven't had the chance to display at stores yet. You can actually order online through reefstakes.com. Uh-huh. We have a tab where people can go on to log on. And now we're actually having the Merdeka promotion because last month is our National Marine Animal. So we've packaged it with discount. together with the stickers and the postcards you've seen. Mm-hmm. So you can go online. And we're also working with Marset, another marine mammal NGO who does research on dugongs. Mm-hmm. They have also come up with, what do you call it? The dugong plushies. And so we've packaged them with the dugong plushies. Whoever wants a dugong plushie together with reef steaks. And you can find out all about that on our reefsteaks.com.
Okay, all right. So I guess, you know, I mean, you're both marine biologists, am I correct?
That's right.
I guess what would you say is some of the most pressing issues that, you know, you would like people to take notice of, you know, that you would like, so we're not talking politicians or anybody, let's just the layperson, you know, what would you hope they would take away from this game as well? Or, you know, what should we really start focusing on and paying more attention to perhaps?
I think for me, it's really what attracted me to reef steaks in the first place is the roll. The rolls that we produce are the 6 rolls. And I think it brings out the message that everyone has a role to play individually, whether it's a small daily action that you do at home or in your daily life that really affects directly and indirectly to the marine environment. The simplest action would be now that we are all, you know, wearing face masks, I think the first message that comes up here is that you have an individual role to play besides, you know, taking all the safety measures, but also disposing of the face masks, making sure you dispose them into where it's supposed to be and not into the marine environment.
That's right.
Yeah. So for me, that's one of the things I wanted to bring out, the roles everybody gets to play and they can influence other people. Yeah.
And what about you, Craig?
Oh, Huiling stole my answer. Never mind. But
it's a cliche.
But for me, actually, people don't realize how lucky we are to be living in Malaysia, especially with regards to the marine environment. If you look at the amount of area we have more sea than land. We're more a marine nation, actually. And so for me, I think through reef steaks, we try to outreach to the urban community or even communities who live inland, that we have this very beautiful environment out there. And some people can't go and appreciate it by visiting, but I hope through the game, they can realize that, oh yeah, it's really important. We have to conserve it in any way possible. And so that's the value of the game to me, actually.
Yeah, and I think it's wonderful what you said earlier, you know, about empathizing, you know, all these different roles that people can take on, right? Empathy is so important. I think that's really lacking in our world right now.
Yeah,
but is there any last message that you'd like to leave us with?
Well, to everyone out there, I think reef steaks is a good way to spend time with your family, spend time with your friends, because other than the environmental messages it gives, other than the educational messages it gives, it's a fun game to play. So I hope everyone gets to experience reef steaks. Maybe join us for one of our outreach events. We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, and we have a website. So yeah, you know where to find us. Thank you so much.
Okay, all right. So, you know, as Craig said, you know, if you'd like to find out more, you can find them on Facebook. I'm sure all the social media channels have been covered by you guys. But if not, the website is reefsteaks.com. And do get your hands on a set, you know, and play it with your family and friends and learn more about the conservation of our marine ecosystem. So thank you so much again for joining me. I've been speaking to Kwek Yuan, who is a co-founder of Reef Steaks, and also Liu Huiling, who is another co-founder of Reef Steaks. And we were discussing this, the first marine-themed role-playing card game in Malaysia, which has just recently won an international award. So if you've missed any part of this interview or any previous Earth Matters interviews, you can search for the podcast on our BFM app, available on Google Play, the App Store, and also on Spotify. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.